two or three minutes after 7, and we have quorum. Let's get going. I would just remind everybody who is on the call. Well, that proves my point. If you're on the call and not speaking, please put mute on. Thank you. So the agenda has gone out, and you'll see the draft agenda points. Before we really get going, Gabby, can you indicate who had sent apologies?
Yes, we have an apology from Keith Davidson and from Vikam Pisana. We also have an apology for half of the meeting from Roloff Meyer.
Okay.
He will just attend half of the call.
Will he be joining us later, or is he on right now?
I have not listed him as being on right now, so I'm assuming he will join us later, unless he joins us within the next few minutes.
Okay. All right, thank you. And with that, let's move on to item number 2, the minutes and actions. The minutes were sent out some time ago. Were there any comments on the minutes? All right, hearing none, I will resume. Just a reminder to put mute on. I will presume that the minutes are okay with everybody, and as such, we can approve them. Any objections to that? Okay, hearing none, we'll approve the minute in the last meeting. Gabby, could you go through the action items for us, please?
Yes, would you like me to read all of them? They're all completed, but I can read them.
No, I think that's fine. If confirm they're all completed, unless there are any questions. Are there any questions on any of the items, any of the action items? Okay, good. Moving on then, go to item number 3.
Sorry, this is Hiro. I have just joined.
Hello, Hiro.
Hi.
Hello, Hiro. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, you just joined. Okay.
Good.
Thank you. Pardon me for my voice. I have a bit of a cold, so I'll probably go in and out of it. Item number 3, which is the Internet Governance 4 update. As you'll all recall, given the high-profile nature of all things Internet governance coming out of the Buenos Aires meeting, we had elected to put forward some people, or ask some people, to be our point person on a number of the various IG initiatives, with the idea that, given the diversity and some of the depth that these various fora were going to require, somebody paying fairly detailed attention to them and then making sense of them and reporting back into us as a broader community. They were Mathieu, Carolina, myself, Keith and Patricio, as well as Debbie Monahan. So the idea here was, as I'm sure many of you have seen, there's been quite a flurry of activity in some of these areas. The idea was just to present back to us a more consolidated view of what's happening, effectively a status update of any one of these particular threads in the IG discussion. Is Mathieu on the call?
No, Mathieu's not on the call.
He's not, okay. Carolina? Is Carolina on the call?
She's in the Adobe room, so...
Oh, hello? Okay. you hear me there? Is it better now?
It's very noisy, Carolina.
Maybe we
Carolina was typing something. So. Okay.
Okay, well, maybe in the interim, I'll take the opportunity to speak on the what's known as the fifth strategy panel initiated by ICAR. We've had our first meeting. There will be a series of three meetings, one this past December, one at the very end of February, and one at the beginning of May. It was a fairly broad cross-section of people. I'm sure most of you have seen the list of participants, but it is quite a varied array from business, civil society, to some technical folks, definitely government folks. It's chaired by the president of Estonia, but also Mohammed, the former chair of the Wicket, is part of the group, as well as some other political-type individuals. So it's quite a diverse cross-section, not only from the individual's area of interest, but also geographically. Most of the first meeting, or much of the first meeting, was spent on coming to terms essentially with what I would call some more of the administrative side. How are we going to act? What are we going to focus on? We certainly had reasonable conversation about, do we have any legitimacy? We're just 18 people in a room talking about internet governance. Why are we here and what can we possibly add? So there was a fair amount of discussion about that, what the output would look like, and what some of the key themes to be discussed would be. So I suspect that having had that type of discussion, most of the, say, the substance will happen over the course of the next two meetings. That substance and any outputs will be made public well in advance of the following meeting in order to solicit input and feedback from the entire interested IG community. That thing will be, I think, quite transparent once the first set of work gets published, which they haven't given us a fixed date yet, but I anticipate will be late January, early February. So that's what's happening on the fifth strategy panel at this point. Any questions or comments?
Byron, it's Leslie. I'm not sure which bit of the, whether it's the OneNet or the Brazil meeting with Carolina. One comment I've heard, and unfortunately I had better things to do than follow the OneNet mailing list, was a general question around attendance at this conference. And actually this has come from a nominate registrar who very much wants to attend and be involved and is finding it extremely opaque as to how one gets to attend this conference. And I suspect that's something that some CC managers share too. We've reserved space in the diary but have no idea if we will be going or be invited or however these things are going to work. Is there any clarity around that just at the moment yet?
Hi, Leslie. This is Carolina. I think that we will have Demi speak a little bit more about the Brazil meeting since he's chairing the executive committee. But that is a very great concern of many stakeholders. I mean, how open or closed the meeting will be, whether there will be funding for certain players, mainly from civil society, to attend, that's travel support, whether there will be a remote participation hub, how the participation will be channeled and how meaningful will be the participation of other stakeholders who are not part of the steering committees, and the deadline for proposals for topics, etc., that has been initially proposed for the 1st of March. So, I mean, jumping into your consideration, I think this is a very relevant issue, and that it is one that is being heavily discussed about the Brazil meeting. But I think that having Demi here is a really great opportunity to hear someone who is already working and will start working on the 27th, from what I gather, with a group, as to how the executive committee is planning the whole agenda and program for this meeting.
Well, on that note, Demi, are you able to enlighten us any more than that?
Okay, I will try to say something. It's clear. My voice is clear over there?
Yes, you're very clear.
Okay, thank you. We will have in our first meeting of the executive committee. I am one of the co-chairs of this executive committee. Next Monday, the other co-chair is Raul Echeverria. And I suppose that there are already 8 members appointed by the Brazilian side, another 8 members appointed by OneNet side. This will be the very first meeting. We will try to set up a kind of agenda for this meeting. For this meeting, we will reserve the whole day in Monday. We begin at 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. of the day. We have people from Japan, from Asia, from Europe. Then there will be remote participation in that meeting. But this first meeting is the meeting for starting the work of this executive committee. As you know, there are other committees. There are the high-level committee. I suppose Mathieu is taking part of the high-level committee. And there will be the logistic committee here in Brazil with Harmut doing the job of reservation things and so on. So, but anyway, we will try to have a roadmap for what we will be doing. In the next Monday, I will keep the CCNSO Council informed as soon as we have some kind of data coming out from this meeting Monday. I imagine that there will be a quite smaller meeting than the IGF meeting. We expect to have not more than 1,000 people here in Brazil. And probably there will be invitations for the people joining the meeting. We will have an executive secretariat taking care of the actions. I suppose the Daniel Fink will be the director of this secretariat. It's a temporary secretariat, but it's a full-time job until the end of April. I suppose Daniel Fink is in his way of returning from Korea to Brazil this weekend. We will meet Sunday night to prepare for the meeting. And I suppose one of the branches of this secretariat is to have a way to collect all the contributions and some kind of curatory of the contributions to have a resume, and the way to collect all this stuff will be coming on in this meeting. Then I really don't have much to say now. What I can anticipate is that as soon as we have some kind of roadmap in the next Monday, I will keep you informed. And we have some expectations for this Brazilian meeting. I suppose there are 2 basic lines where we expect to have some kind of good contributions for the meeting. One is what our president said also in United Nations, that the work around to have principles, consensus principles for defending the Internet as a whole. And the second line is more or less following what the Montevideo Declaration said, trying to make some of the institutions more independent from countries or for governments. I suppose these are the 2 basic lines. As for myself, as I said, it's early to say anything on that, but I don't expect to have discussions on security or something like that, but basically to concentrate the materials and the discussions in these 2 main lines, the line searching for some kind of principles, and the other one trying to go step forward the ecosystem of the internet institutions to see how it will be evolve, and how we will have these institutions in a more independent shape. I suppose you have read the press release we produced on 10th December, 10th January. Sorry about that. 10th January. There is a quite a short description of what we expect, but anyway, is there. There you can find these two main lines, and as I said, we have a lot of work in front of us beginning Monday. I'm basically involved with this executive committee, not with the others, but each committee has its own, of course, mission and mandate. We are trying to do what we can.
Okay, thank you. pardon me. Just following up on that, it sounds at least like we have a general sense of the tracks. In terms of the logistics, one of the issues that certainly Leslie alluded to, but I think is also a concern of many, is there's probably more demand to participate than there are seats available. Is there any sense of who and how people are going to be invited?
This is the main issue, I suppose, of the meeting of Monday, to decide how is the best way to have this populated in a very equilibrated and very distributed way to have a place for all the constituents and so. But I don't have any special direction to tell you right now, because we are not met yet. Then I suppose the number of physical participants cannot be more than 1,000 because of the physical installations we have in the hotel we have chosen, as I understand. Of course, there will be a remote participation, and it will be open to anyone, anywhere, I hope. We were also counting on ICANN collaboration to set up the infrastructure for this remote participation, since ICANN has a lot of experience in teleconferences, Adobe rooms, and so on. So then probably we'll have the help of ICANN infrastructure to set up the ways to participate remotely, and even the local wireless installations and so on. So. But we don't have any word to say about how we will be doing the invitations, and if there will be open or not, or it is difficult to say anything on that, because we, as I said, we'll have our first meeting Monday. Then after that, I suppose I have a clearer picture to send to you.
So hopefully later next week we should have a little more clarity on it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Demi. That's helpful. Are there any other questions for Demi? I know Keith is not on the call. Is Patricio?
This is Youngham.
Youngham, go ahead.
Yes, I actually have a question for Demi. I just want to clarify things. So you're saying that whether the meeting will be the meetings of the four committees will be open or not will be decided on January 27th, right?
Yes. The January 27th, we will have the meeting of the executive committee. I don't know about the meetings of other committees. I suppose the local committee, it's quite easy because it's a logistic thing and no problems at all. I don't know if there will be a call for the high-level committee that is also set up. I'm not aware of the meeting of that committee, not even know if there will be a presidential meeting or not. The first meeting of the executive committee will be, of course, will begin as a closed meeting for the committee, and because we have to decide our way to go forward. And then in the next meetings, maybe we will have other meetings, probably two or three meetings before the actual conference. Then we will have a better scenario to see how we'll be doing with that meetings in the future. But this first meeting is to the people to know each other. There is a lot of the eight names that came from OneNet. is quite variated from many places in the world. We have to first of all, have an acquaintance and know each other in the first meeting and then go forward.
I actually know that there will be a high-level committee meeting on Monday as well.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know even if the meeting will take place here in São Paulo or not, because, as I said, I'm a member of the other committee. Each committee has its own life, and I'm not sure about it.
So I'm sure we could carry on with
I just heard from...
I think we should...
Sorry,
let me just say, okay. I think we could carry on with this, but from what I can hear, there's not a lot more to add until later next week. So given we still have a lengthy agenda, I think we should move on from this one. Is Patricio on the phone? I haven't seen him on Adobe. Is Debbie on the phone? Okay, so I'm going to assume that none of those people are here and as a result can't provide updates on their particular areas.
Byron, this is Bart.
Bart, go ahead.
I just added to the chat, say, what is going on in the CCWG. So I'm subscribed there as well. So when I attend all these conferences, all these conference calls, it's currently focusing on its purpose and, following on the charter for the CCWG. So that's the core of the discussions currently.
Okay. Thank you. So it's still in the admin and the forming stage. Okay, thank you. On to item number 4, the appointment of a co-chair for the GNSO Working Group Drafting Charter for Working Groups on Cross-Community Working Group Principles. Now, that just rolls off the tongue. We have a draft resolution on this. As I think we know, the CCNSO was invited to participate in this cross-community working group primarily to try to create a framework for cross-community working groups. We were asked to provide a co-chair for that. As such, are there any questions around this? I know that
Byron, this is Bart.
Go ahead, Bart.
Go ahead.
As John Berardis is on the call and he's the GNSO appointed co-chair, maybe he can speak a little bit to it.
Great, John, you're on the call. Okay.
Good morning, Byron, and all. I'm more than happy to. I think it's interesting that the subject comes up just after Bart has noted that the cross-community working group on internet governance is still in its administrative and formative stages. A couple things that make the development of guidelines for cross-community working groups imperative, in our view, is that there will be an increasing number of matters that require the consultation across communities in ICANN, that it is going to be less and less likely that any issue will be the domain of any one area, and so as we have seen, there have been instigated by staff a number of calls for cross-community working groups. Some of them have worked well, some of them have not worked well. This is an opportunity to lay down some guidelines that can help get them formed more quickly and into the substantive matter, and designed at the front end to ensure that the work product of the group is in keeping with the requirements of each of the SOs and ACs participating. The GNSO had earlier taken a look at this on its own. It's pretty clear that the only way for this to work is for it, as I say, to be designed properly from the start. And so, therefore, we thought it was imperative because of the natural affinity between the CCNSO and the GNSO for us to co-chair such a drafting team. And so I am the co-chair from the GNSO. I'm glad to see Becky's name surfaced.
Hello. Sorry, it's Becky here.
Hey, Becky. John Berard. And that's pretty much the idea is that we believe that this will become an increasingly important aspect of ICANN's activities, and we think that if we sort out the rules for formation now, we can more quickly get to the substance of things. And I point to Bart's comments earlier as evidence that there's a need for this kind of thing. Thank you, Byron.
Thanks, John. I think that was a good summary of it, and I know that the CC community has participated in some cross-community efforts before, and I think there is a challenge that it always has a bit of a feeling like you're doing it for the first time every time, and certainly it's not as efficient as it could be, and I would tend to agree that it seems likely that more and more there will be a requirement for cross-community working groups as opposed to individually siloed working groups. As such, we do have a resolution that we want to propose, and that first off is to participate in the new GNSO-initiated cross-community drafting team. As well, we want to suggesting an appointment for that person, or for that role, and Becky has graciously volunteered to act as a co-chair for the working group, and then the resolution would continue to call for volunteers once the working group has been formally established. Are there any comments or inputs on this subject? And Becky, thank you for once again standing up and volunteering for this.
I think this is a really important initiative, and it's something on which the CCs have, you know, some particular experiences that could be useful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a lot to offer in this space. Are there any? Is there any other feedback? So I would like to put that resolution forward. For hopefully for adoption, and that's to participate in the GNSO-initiated cross-community drafting team and to appoint Becky Burr as the co-chair of the working group, and then subsequently to call for volunteers from within our community. Given that it's a call, can I ask for any abstentions or objectors? Hearing none, I am going to declare that unanimously approved. Thank you very much. All right. Well, congratulations, Becky. And good luck.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Exactly. And I think this will also be a very interesting one. This really sets the stage for future work with our community and others. So I would also strongly urge those who have an interest to put your hand up when the call for volunteers comes. This should be an interesting one. Thank you very much. Okay, on to item number 5, or agenda item number 5, CCNSO travel funding. This is an issue that's come up before, but in essence, you know, the last time this issue was really looked at was in, Bart, correct me if I'm wrong, 2008.
Not really. It's it was revisited. The guidelines were revisited in late 2012 and adopted again 2013. And the discussion became visual on the last call.
Right, but these were a review of the guidelines that were adopted.
Yeah.
So they are. You know, they have been around for a while, and certainly the nature of ICANN has changed over that period. And the other thing, of course, is the size of our community has increased dramatically, and our participation in things such as cross-community working groups, et cetera, is more and more demanding. So we also took, you know, it's also been raised that other communities have significantly more travel funding available to them, the GNSO and the ALAC, for example. And given the size of our community and the workloads, et cetera, is it appropriate to review that and take a look at our 12 slots or 12 seats, an appropriate number for funding, travel funding? And I think this, you know, at this point, given the work ahead and the growing community that we have, and also just taking a look at some of the other communities, it may be worthwhile to review this again. But I would suggest that this is something that we would take to the next ICANN meeting, face-to-face meeting. Any comments or feedback on that?
Yeah, this is Dottie. I'm commenting. I think that I don't know that it has to go to a whole review. One thing that happened is that in the previous, the policy, it included the word liaison, the funding of liaison reps, and what got approved was the funding of others. The word liaison was left out. I do not know how that happened. I researched every single piece of email I could find to find out what would have caused that to happen, but it did happen. I think that it's important to address just one issue, and that is with the cross-community actions and the others funding their liaisons and us not funding ours, it seems ridiculous because ours don't necessarily get to go to the meeting and have the exchanges they need to have. And it is not that 12 is not enough representatives in the to receive travel funding. It's what we do with the unsold seats, as it were. It's whether those go to newcomers or whether they go to people who are contributing in an involved way on a regular basis to the activities of the CCNSO. For example, there is not a permanent funding of the Tech Day person, and there really probably should be, because Tech Day is growing important, and it probably should grow to be an event that happens and all of ICANN is involved. But right now, those kind of assignments of travel expenses have to go through a request each time. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. I think we need to decide who gets the unsold seats. That's where the disagreements arise, okay, within the committee, okay?
Thanks, Dottie. Any other comments or feedback?
Byron, if I say, I'd just like to say, I mean, I support the next step. I think this is a difficult one to do on the teleconference, but clearly it's very important to the people who would wish to apply for funding and has been the source of some difficulties over the years. So therefore, I think it's healthy that we revisit it.
Hey, Byron, this is Peter. If it helps solve the equation, I can commit to, as long as Patrick is the GNSO liaison, that there will never be a request for travel funding. So that might remove one of the candidates off that list and solve that one seat issue that Dottie just mentioned.
Okay, thank you. Any other input into this? Okay. So, Bart, could you just remind us of the breakdown of mandatory seats?
Yes, as far as, you know, but Gabby's better positioned, but I'll do it, it's five for the councillors, so the councillors, one councillor per region receives travel funding for every region. Sometimes this is councillors defer or decline funding. Then the three NOMCOM appointees, so that is eight, that leaves four slots to be allocated per meeting. This is what the debate is around. For comparison, excuse me, ALAC has 24 slots, and unfortunately, I just had an update from the data from the GNSO. Just for the Singapore meeting, the GNSO has 41 slots to provide for. So in total, the unallocated seats for the CCNSO are four every meeting, at least.
Thank you, Bart. So I mean, I think that's part of the challenge right there, particularly given our rapidly expanding CCNSO community. To have four per meeting go around for everybody is arguably tight, particularly given the number of, I think, our more recent entrants. We don't know yet whether they'll be applying, and it would be a shame if newer members were prevented from seeking travel funding. As such, it's my belief that we should actually review this subject in a more meaningful way. And I say that with some trepidation in that having just concluded the finance working group, where we took something of a strong stand on the fact that the CC community is not making more financial demands than ICANN, I'm a little loath to the very next meeting or to start to look for more funding, but I think in this particular area it is worthy of our consideration. So to that end, I'd like to, Katrina, add something here on our agenda where we take a more meaningful look at, are 12 spots really enough, and do we have them appropriately allocated that we can continue to meet our mandate of supporting some of our members who might not have the financial capacity at a particular given point in time to attend, even though it would be a good idea if they could. So can I ask the Secretariat, and I guess the Travel Funding Committee, to organize a face-to-face to have this proper discussion?
Yes, it's noted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, with that...
Brian, this is Youngham.
Youngham, go ahead.
Yes, I have one more point. Bart mentioned that... Gabby mentioned that the seat allotted for the councillors are sometimes not used. What happens, I think what happens is it is made open to the other members. But I'm wondering if that is the way to go, or if it should be offered to councillors in other regions. And that's just one point. I have no means. Opinion one way or the other, but I think that's one issue that should also be noted.
Thank you. Yes, duly noted. Okay, moving on to item number six, the implementations recommendation study group quorum rule background. There was preparatory material sent with the agenda. I hope everybody's had an opportunity to at least take a look at. staff is requested to provide a schedule for implementation here. And we do have a draft resolution that we'd like to put forward. Bart, can you speak to the draft resolution?
Yes, say, as part of the material, Katrina and the Secretariat prepared an overview of some of say, on the implementation and what needs to be done to implement, say, the recommendations regarding the quorum rule. At the same time, what we have currently is the IDM PDP, which needs to be approved by the board, and which includes some of the changes to the bylaws, Article 9, relating to inclusion of IDN CCTLDs. And as a result, the rules and guidelines of the CCNSO need to be updated as well. In order to consolidate the two updates and have a more and really think through what needs to be done in the next update of the bylaws, it is suggested that the the implementation of the quorum rule, which do not take a bylaw change, will be done in conjunction with the update of the rules and guidelines to adjust them to include IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO.
Thank you, Bart. Are there any comments?
Byron, especially, I'd just like to support the changing of guidelines, but deferring doing a PDP on bylaws, knowing in the past how difficult that can be. And also, I think, although we will need to do a PDP on bylaws at some stage, it will open up a discussion around other areas of the bylaws as well. I mean, you need to be very cognizant of that.
Byron, can I respond? Say, as part of the exercise we've done is, what we will do is keep stock of changes over time to the bylaws in order to, say, have a similar kind of review of the bylaws as was the first PDP. That's why the resolution is just to update the rules and guidelines to the extent that's possible without changing the bylaws, but that's limited.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah, I realise that, and I think that's a very sensible way to go forward. That's what I'm saying.
Right. I would agree. Anytime you crack open the bylaws, that's letting the genie out of the bottle, which you need to be very careful about.
Yep. Maren, this is Peter. I have a fundamental a comment that touches on the principles of this discussion, and I already raised it last time during the call, but I didn't see it reflected anywhere. And it is, before we start thinking about changing anything to our rules, I would suggest that we first think about what we expect from members. As I mentioned last time, I think you really send out a wrong signal to members when you say, join our club, but don't bother voting. No, we need to make sure that they understand it's important that they vote. So, and we will reach the opposite effect when we change the rules. It is already an issue in the CCNSO, I think. I mean, from my standpoint, and maybe I'm the only one that thinks like that, but I feel that there is already a discrepancy between what the people that are close to the heart of the CCNSO, say the council plus maybe 5 or 10 people, what they understand to be happening and what everybody else understands to be happening. And that discrepancy can be seen very clearly, for instance, at the Center General Assembly when there is a CCNSO update. I mean, half of the room who is formerly a member of the CCNSO has no idea what this is about. And so this is another move that would separate these two. I think we need to make absolutely sure that members understand that their membership also comes with an obligation to care, and the least they can do is just vote or raise their hand. Thanks.
Thanks, Peter. And I certainly recognize that limited participation by membership in the election process. Far less ideal. Do you have any suggestions, though, in terms of solving that challenge, given that a fair amount of effort is already put into trying to get people to...
But one of the things I think we tried recently with moderate success is, for instance, to involve volunteers, and in that case I think it were mainly the general manager of the regional organizations, to get people respond to something that comes from the CCNSO secretariat. I mean, we can reach out individually to people. I'm sure the secretariat does it already. But just to keep on making that point. And then the next step would be to consider whether it's worth adding the 148 or in 3 months from now, the 170th CCTLD that has little to no chance to ever respond to anything that we do because it's a one-person enterprise that spends a couple of hours a week working on CCTLD-related issues. But that's probably a fundamental question we need to ask in the long term. But in the meantime, I think we should use all the resources that we have to convince people to take up their responsibility as a member. It's already free, so I mean, the least they can do is participate.
Okay, thanks, Peter. I mean, I agree with you. The challenge is, how do you create something? How do you create a structure where people are allowed to be members, and it's in a voluntary organization, essentially demand that they book. I mean, squaring that circle is a significant challenge. So we can't put ourselves in a position where the I mean, I hate to say it out loud almost, but the bar is so high that we can never conduct or complete an election. And I think that's what is, you know, the attempt here is to try to be pragmatic about it. And we can entice and demand and cajole as much and market and communicate as much as we can. But at the end of the day, we also do have to move forward in an election process. And I think that's just the balance that's been trying to be drawn here. So perhaps, you know, we can continue on. And I know that even just in... you know, when we go down to the next agenda item on election review, there's a significant component dedicated to communications and marketing and significantly revamping that. I mean, I think we can certainly double down on these types of activities, but we can't find ourselves in a position where we simply can't conduct elections because we can never reach quorum. Are there any other... you know, I've spoken at some length here. Are there any other comments or feedback? And Peter, I'm very sympathetic to your comments, but I'm also trying to make sure that we don't find ourselves in a position where reaching quorum becomes an unattainable
one. I agree. Yep.
Well, it's Katrina here. I have a short comment. From my perspective, I think that the organization is for members and not the other way around. So if members think, if by joining organization, somebody thinks it's worth it, so they want to join, they join, I don't think that the organization should push somebody to vote or to participate or to be active. That's their choice, and the organization is for them. Well, that's... I agree, and that's why we... several times actually pointed out this risk that by setting up a very high quorum requirements, we can make this organization actually not able to flexibly reflect the changing environment. Thank you.
Thanks, Katrina. That's actually a great point. You know, the organization is here for the members, not the other way around. So we can keep that in mind, but it's a delicate balance to be drawn. I mean, I think the best way we can get people to vote is to show them that we provide value and that we're an organization worth participating in, and that we do good work on their behalf. That said, we do have a resolution in front of us. Which I
Byron, Celia raised her hand.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Celia. Now, I just, this is a question more for Katrina. I had a question on the first recommendation that we discussed last time. I still not fully convinced about the voting mechanism for to indicate how their non-vote should be interpreted. I'm just wondering if that would make the process just much more complex in general, or if that would, legitimize this situation that the members are not voting, if that could be prejudicial for voting, for people that want to vote, if that could be confusing for members if they are really not participating. I see this as a very creative outcome, a very creative possibility, but at the same time, I can see it confusing for members that are not already participating. I wonder if this is something that we should consider before implementing the recommendations.
Katrina, do you have any thoughts or comments on that?
I just repeat what we discussed and why this issue actually came up. It's just because in CCNSO there are members from different regions, and in each region or maybe even sub-region or country, they see things differently. So we can't, one size doesn't fit all. And, for many people, if they, for example, don't vote, it means that they agree with the idea. I agree, so I don't need to express anything. If I participate there, I agree with it. If they disagree, they just say, okay, we disagree and we vote against. In other cultures, that's the other way around. People who do not vote, they believe that they vote against something. So it's just that's why this proposal actually came up, just because we are so different.
Okay, this is more clear. No, thank you.
Hello, this is Margarita.
Margarita, go ahead.
Another thing is important that in the case of the ICANN regions, sometimes we have a lot of participants in a region, but other regions are few CCTLDs, so sometimes it's hard to gather people in order to vote. How can we motivate to vote? In North America, for example, we have 3 or 4 CCTLDs, more or less. But in Africa or in Asia, we have a lot. So that's the hard work.
Right, okay. I also need to be cognizant of the time here. And I think that items 6 and possibly 7 continue to require some discussion. My sense is that we should probably delay a vote on the resolutions here and schedule another meeting in which we can further discuss them. Is there any opposition to that? Any comment from the Secretariat on that? By doing that, am I going to run afoul of anything timing-wise?
Not really. The only thing is, my fear is, at the next council call before the Singapore meeting, we will spend, again, a lot of time on the internet governance issue, and rightfully so. So that's the only thing. And maybe, if more discussion is needed, and this is all around the review of guidelines and rules, etc., that we include this for the workshop in Singapore.
Okay, that probably makes more sense, because you are likely correct that the Internet governance activities will take up a fair amount of time at the next call. So unless there are any objections, I would like to park these topics and bring them forward at the council workshop, which is face-to-face, and we can have some more meaningful time to dig into them. And I would also ask that people also take a good review of the materials so that we can have a very fulsome discussion on them. So I am going to ask, are there any objections to that proposal? I see some support on Adobe, so I'm going to ask that we take items 6 and 7 and bring them forward to the Singapore Face-to-Face Council Workshop. Thank you very much. We will do that. Item number 8, Council Updates. Those of us who are going to speak on this, let's be brief, and if we don't have to, we don't need to do an update. As the chair, as I've already mentioned, I've participated in the 5th panel. I've also had a couple of calls with the SOAC chair working group, which is really just an update and advisory, relatively informal call, just to keep each other abreast of what's happening in the other communities. And like ours, much of the discussion these days is really around Internet governance. There wasn't much else to report on that front. Keith's not here, so there'll be no vice chair update. Are there any updates from any individual councillors? Hearing none. Any from the regional organization?
Hello, this is Margarita.
Margarita, go ahead.
Yeah, just to say that I sent my updates by email.
Okay, thank you. Regional updates, certainly I'm sure lots happening with LAC-TLD, but we've covered a lot of the Brazil-related activity. Anything else?
I could add that we are hosting our marketing workshop in February in Guatemala on the 18th, 19th, and for the first time we're opening up our meeting to registrars. We're inviting registrars to attend the meeting. We will have a closed session at the end just for members. Then the other important piece of news for LAC-TLD is that we are taking part of the steering committee of the Latin America, which will take place approximately around July this year. We are representing the technical regional technical community together with ICANN in this steering committee for the LAC-IGF. And the other important piece of news is that we are having a small meeting next week together with LACNIC, ICANN staff, and our regional VP in Montevideo to define the security, stability, and resiliency strategy projects for the year. That's all.
Thank you. Anything else from the regional organizations?
This is Peter from Center. Just one thing from us. In addition to plenty of internet governance related issues, we're working on a workshop to be held in Stockholm. It's a closed workshop, so for central members only at the moment. The topic will be registrar identification and authentication. So we will be looking for joint specifications for tools that might be used by registrars to identify themselves when interacting with registries. And it's more a question than a bit of information, but if anybody has any experience with that or if anybody is aware of similar mechanisms, then feel free to let me know something. Thanks.
Good, that's interesting. I'm sure the output of that we would all be interested in.
We will be very happy to share. But what we are initially going to do is instead of raising the wrong expectations. We're first initially internally going to see whether it's possible, feasible and realistic to try and to come up with joint specifications. And once we know that we can move ahead, then it's obviously in the interest of everybody to make this an initiative as broad as possible. So rest assured that I will keep you informed. Thank you.
Are there any staff updates?
No, not from my end. Gabby, Christina?
Nothing for me.
Thank you.
Me neither.
We'll move on to working group updates. Roloff, anything from the SOP?
Roloff has left the call.
He's left the call, okay. CRI working group?
Gabby, can you say the survey, allude a little bit to the survey?
Oh, I can't say much to the survey. It was the results were published before the break, and I know that they're about to analyze it now, but I haven't heard anything from it, but I can't really speak more to the results. It's available online on our website.
The raw results, okay. Since Keith is not here.
Byron, just before the call, Keith sent a written update. So it's in his email.
Okay, thank you. And ICANN Academy, is Hong on the call? I haven't seen
him.
Hi. Oh, hello?
Oh, hi, Byron. Oh, yes, I just circulated the survey result for the pilot leadership projects in Buenos Aires. It was released on the 20th of January. Well, you're welcome to take a look. It showed that over 96% of the participants of the Buenos Aires pilot leadership projects believe the projects be good or very good. So it's going to be continued in this year. Curriculum will be drafted in London, and next program will be in Los Angeles at the end of this year. Back to you, Byron.
Thanks, Hong. Is there any discussion about modifying the logistics or the timeline to make it more accessible to more people?
Oh, not yet. Hopefully in Singapore there will be another workshop for this academy working group, and there will be some discussion about this planning issues. I raise your concern, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Hong. On to item number 10, liaison updates. I know that both have sent, there were written updates included in your materials from both. Are there any questions regarding the GNSO liaison or ALAC liaison updates? Or any further input?
Byron?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just add a couple of points there. I'll just make it brief because I know everybody wants to leave. I should also point out that on to the question of liaison funding and to support Peter's comment earlier, there will be no funding request from myself. And just on back onto the topic of cross-community drafting a working group, and Barad, John Barad might be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but just on the timing of that one, I think they're due to hold their first meeting already at the end of this month, and so volunteers is probably already out for request. I think Mary Wong is the contact on the staff there. On the just additional point on the JIG, obviously the GNSO adopted the final report in December, and they will submit it to the board. They had an action item at the last GNSO council meeting that they have a desire to work closely with the CCNSO to assess the future of the JIG and consider whether any new working groups should be chartered on that. So I expect maybe that might sort of come up again if you don't already have heard about it. And finally, just an interest point, the GNSO are currently circulating a document which began its life in Durban, called improvements to the GNSO, and it's just sort of a set of points that's been developed to help improve the policy development process. It's not directly related to CCNSO, but I thought personally there might be some points that are in that document which might be of interest to the CCNSO and their own policy development or working group processes. And the link is in my report along with all the other relevant information. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. Any other comments or questions there? Now, hearing none, we'll move to item 11, the work plan. Bart, did you have any?
Ron is on the call as well regarding ALAC.
Hello, this is Ron Byron.
Hi, Ron. Go ahead.
Byron, we did conduct a meeting to determine the appropriate meeting for the council, CCNSAC council meeting during the conference in Singapore. And it was determined that the best way to deal with this would be a luncheon meeting on Monday the 23rd of March, and a draft agenda has been prepared.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ron? No? Okay. Thanks, Ron. Item 11, Bart?
I will send the update after the, say, you will have it in your inbox tomorrow. It will be just an update of the work plan, say, taking into account where the different working groups are currently. A more broader, say, one-year perspective is up for discussion, or longer perspective is up for the discussion at the workshop in Singapore. Yeah.
Thank you. Item number 12 are the dates of the next meetings for everybody's information. And also item number 13 just hit some preliminary highlights of the Singapore meeting. The activities... the traditional Sunday meeting for the council workshop, but also meetings already scheduled for the 23rd, or several meetings. Again, being conscious and respectful of everybody's time, it's about 10 after the hour. Is there any other business or final comments?
Aaron, this is Ron. Can I ask... I see under item 12 in our next meetings that it says that on the 19th of March at 1600 there is a council meeting in Singapore. Should that not be 1 week later?
Sorry, Ron, you're probably right.
Yes.
You are right.
So there's
sorry.
The council, yes. I think you are correct. That's a good catch, Ron. Thank you. All right, any other comments? Hearing none, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for sticking with us, going a few minutes late. And we'll talk to you again on February 20th.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, everyone.
Bye.
Hi, everyone.
Bye-bye.